Recently, speaking with a young man who goes to another church, a solid church from all I can tell, at least I think so, and I would estimate this fellow to be probably in his mid-20s or so, and he saw a book in my hand, and he asked me what I was reading. I told him it was a commentary on 1 Chronicles, and he said, "I don't think I've read 1 Chronicles as an adult." And as we've been working our way through the book for this past year, maybe you can sympathize, because this is not the easiest, most accessible book of the Bible to read. It's not the easiest, most accessible book of the Bible to preach through, and maybe not the most accessible book of the Bible to listen to sermons on. But nonetheless, it is inspired by God. These are the oracles of God, and they're profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so tonight, we'll be looking at 1 Chronicles 25, 26, and 27, and we'll see there a continuation of what we saw last week in chapters 23 and 24. We'll see a little bit more about the organization of David's kingdom and various officials and so on, and it has something to teach us about our own position in the kingdom of the Son of David, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so our plan for this evening will be similar to what we did last week. We'll look at each chapter by chapter, make a few comments on the chapter, and then move to the next chapter, and then come around at the end and try to draw out some application. So first of all, 1 Chronicles chapter 25. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 25. The chronicler writes under the inspiration of the Spirit, and he tells us, "Moreover, David and the commanders of the army set apart for the service some of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who were to prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals, and the number of those who performed their service was, of the sons of Asaph, Zachar, Joseph, Nethaniah, Asherela. The sons of Asaph were under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied under the direction of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zeri, Jeshiah, Shimei, Hashabiah, Mattathiah, six, under the direction of their father Jeduthun, with the harp, who prophesied in giving thanks and praising the Lord. Of Heman, of the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uziel, Shebuel, Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliatha, Gedalti, and Romanti Ezer, Joshbeksha, Malathi, Hother, Mehazioth. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, to exalt him according to the words of God, for God gave him 14 sons and 3 daughters to Heman. All these were under the direction of their father to sing in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the direction of the king. Their number, who trained in singing to the Lord, with their relatives, all who were skillful, was 288. They cast lots for their duties, all alike, the small as well as the great, the teacher as well as the pupil. Now, the first lot came out for Asaph to Joseph, the second to Gedaliah, he and his relatives, and sons were 12. The third to Zachar, his sons and relatives, 12. The fourth to Izri, his sons and relatives, 12. The fifth to Nethaniah, his sons and relatives, 12. The sixth to Bukiah, his sons and relatives, 12. The seventh to Jesharallah, his sons and relatives, 12. The eighth to Jeshiah, his sons and relatives, 12. The ninth to Mattaniah, his sons and relatives, 12. The tenth to Shimei, his sons and his relatives, 12. The 11th to Azarel, his sons and his relatives, 12. The 12th to Hashabiah, his sons and his relatives, 12. The 13th to Shubael, his sons and his relatives, 12. The 14th to Mattathiah, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 15th to Jeremoth, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 16th to Hananiah, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 17th to Joshbeksha, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 18th to Hanani, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 19th to Malathi, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 20th to Eliatha, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 21st to Hothir, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 22nd to Gedalti, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 23rd to Mahazioth, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 24th to Romanti Ezer, his sons and his relatives, 12. And so here in chapter 25, we see this continuation of what we had begun to see last week. Chapter 23, again, we saw the stage set for us in chapter 23, verse 2, as to what was to come in the next five chapters, from 23 through 27. We saw that David was gathering together the leaders of Israel and the priests and the Levites. And then the other bookend of this section is in 28, verse 1, where we see that David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel. And then in these intervening chapters, we have an opportunity to get to see some of these leaders of Israel, priests, Levites, and so on. And specifically here in 25, we see the musicians of the temple. These musicians fall into three families of those among the Levites, the families of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun. We see those men listed out in verse 1. Verses 1 through 7 gives us the names of some of these men who served as musicians, though we know this is not an exhaustive list because we're told in verse 7 that there are 288 of them. So this is not an exhaustive list in the sense of seeing all the names. As many names as there are, we didn't see 288 names in the list. And then verses 8 through 31 tell us about how they cast lots and split them into 24 groups. This is not explicit in the text, but it seems likely that these 24 divisions of the musicians corresponds to the 24 divisions of the priests that we saw last week in chapter 24. And so it would seem that these musicians likely served on rotations, similar to the rotations that the priests served on. One further thing to note here from chapter 25 is the function of prophesying. These musicians are said in verse 1 to prophesy with harps, lyres, and cymbals. Similarly, verse 2, we read that Asaph prophesied under the direction of the king. And in verse 3, we're told that they prophesied in giving thanks and praising the Lord. Now, what does this mean? Well, it's difficult to say with absolute certainty, but it seems likely that what's going on here is not that all of these musicians are directly inspired prophets themselves, but that the songs that they sang were prophetic songs, in the sense that the songs that they were singing were inspired songs given to them by the prophets. Psalms, songs like the Psalms, which were inspired by the Spirit and given to the prophets like David, Asaph, and others. And so with that thumbnail sketch of 25, let's look to chapter 26. So picking up the reading, chapter 26, verse 1, "For the divisions of the gatekeepers, there were the Korahites, Meshelemiah, the son of Kor, of the sons of Asaph. Meshelemiah had sons, Zechariah the firstborn, Jediel the second, Zebediah the third, Jathniel the fourth, Elam the fifth, Yohanan the sixth, Eliehonai the seventh. Obed-Edom had sons, Shemaiah the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, Sachar the fourth, Nethanel the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Peluthai the eighth. God had indeed blessed him. Also to his sons, Shemaiah, sons were born who ruled over the house of their father, for they were mighty men of valor. The sons of Shemaiah were Othni, Raphael, Obed, and Elzabad, whose brothers Elihu and Semachiah were valiant men. All these were the sons of Obed-Edom. They were their sons and their relatives, able men with strength for service. 62 from Obed-Edom. Meshelemiah had sons and relatives, 18 valiant men. Also Hosa, one of the sons of Merari, had sons. Shimri the first, although he was not the firstborn, his father made him first. Hilkiah the second, Tebaliah the third, Zechariah the fourth, all the sons of relatives of Hosa were 13. To these divisions of the gatekeepers, the chief men were given duties like their relatives to minister in the house of the Lord. They cast lots, the small and the great alike, according to their father's households for every gate. The lot to the east fell to Shelemiah. Then they cast lots for his son, Zechariah, a counselor with insight, and his lot came out to the north. For Obed-Edom, it fell to the south, and to his sons went the storehouse. For Shuppim and Hosa, it was to the west by the gate of Shalaketh on the ascending highway. Guard corresponded to guard. On the east were six Levites, on the north four daily, and on the south four daily, and at the storehouse two by two. At Parbar on the west, there were four at the highway and two at the Parbar. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers, of the sons of Korah, of the sons of Merari. The Levites, their relatives, had charge of the treasures of the house of God and of the treasures of the dedicated gifts. The sons of Laban, the sons of the Gershonites belonging to Laden, namely the Jehielites, were the heads of fathers' households belonging to Laden the Gershonite. The sons of Jehieli, Zetham and Joel his brother, had charge of the treasures of the house of the Lord. As for the Amramites, the Izharites, the Hebronites, and the Uzielites, Shubel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was officer over the treasures. His relatives, Eliezer, were Rehabiah, his son, Jeshiah, his son, Joram, his son, Zikri, his son, Shelemoth, his son. This Shelemoth and his relatives had charge of all the treasures and dedicated gifts, which King David and the heads of fathers' households, the commanders of thousands and hundreds, and the commanders of the army had dedicated. They dedicated part of the spoil won in battles to the repair of the house of the Lord. And all that Samuel the seer had dedicated, and Saul the son of Kish, Abner the son of Ner, and Joab the son of Zeruiah, everyone who had dedicated anything, all of this was in the care of Shelemoth and his relatives. As for the Izharites, Chenanah and his sons were assigned to outside duties for Israel as officers and judges. As for the Hebronites, Hashabiah and his relatives, 1,700 capable men, had charge of the affairs of Israel west of the Jordan for all the work of the Lord and the service of the king. As for the Hebronites, Jerijah, the chief, these Hebronites were investigated according to their genealogies and fathers' households in the 40th year of David's reign, and men of outstanding capability were found among them at Jazer of Gilead. And his relatives, capable men, were 2,700 in number, heads of fathers' households. And King David made them overseers of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites concerning all the affairs of God and of the king. And so, as we look at chapter 26, we see that the duties described here are becoming less glamorous, right? First, we find here the sons of Korah. And here lately, if you've been with us on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the sons of Korah in as much as they are authors of the Psalms, some of the Psalms. Psalm 84 and 85 especially is where we've been seeing them. And here, they show up as they are, as the gatekeepers, verses 1 through 19. Andrew Stewart, commentator, described the importance of the gatekeepers by saying this: the significance of the gatekeepers' work lay not so much in what they did as in what they prevented. Their job was to keep the temple free from unwelcome visitors or anything that would defile the buildings so as to hinder the important ministry that was conducted within its precincts. So these guys are the security force for the temple. And this is not necessarily a glamorous job, but it's not all bad. It kept them close to the temple, where God was present with his people and where he was worshipped corporately by his people according to his word. And so we read the words of one of the sons of Korah in Psalm 84, verse 10, and he says that a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Verses 20 through 28 give us a list of the keepers of the treasure. And then verses 29 through 32, we read about these men who had charge over Israel. And in particular, we're told in verses 30 through 32 about these men who had charge over the area west of the Jordan. And if you think back in the history of Israel, when they were coming into the land, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of the Manassites, asked Moses specifically, hey, can we stay on the west side of the Jordan? And Moses was a little nervous about this at first because he thought that that meant these guys don't want to help in the conquest. And they said, no, we'll go in, we'll fight, and then we'll come back here and settle. And so this is them. These are the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh who stayed back on the west side of the Jordan. And these tribes probably needed some special governance due to the fact that they are separated from the rest of Israel by the Jordan River. And we're told in verse 32 that these Levites had charge over these tribes concerning two things. One, the affairs of God, and second, the affairs of the king. And so these Levites are exercising both religious authority and civil authority as well. And so with that thumbnail sketch of 26, let's now jump to 27. And so we'll look at chapter 27, draw another thumbnail sketch, and move to application. Chapter 27, beginning verse 1. Now this is the enumeration of the sons of Israel, the heads of fathers' households, the commanders of the thousands and of hundreds, and of their officers who served the king in all the affairs of the divisions which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year, each division numbering 24,000. Jashabim, the son of Zabdiel, had charge of the first division for the first month, and his division were 24,000. He was from the sons of Perez and was chief of all the commanders of the army for the first month. Dodai the Ahohite and his division had charge of the division for the second month. Mikloth, being the chief officer in his division, were 24,000. The third commander of the army for the third month was Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, as chief, and in his division were 24,000. This Benaiah was the mighty man of the 30, and he had charge of the 30, and over his division was Amizabad, his son. For the fourth month was Asahel, the brother of Joab, and Zebadiah, his son, after him. And in his division were 24,000. For the fifth month was the commander Shamhuth, and the Izharite, and in his division were 24,000. For the sixth month was Ira, the son of Ikesh, the Tekoite, and in his division were 24,000. For the seventh month was Helez, the Pilonite, of the sons of Ephraim, and his division were 24,000. For the eighth month was Sibbekai, the Hushathite, of the Zerahites, and in his division were 24,000. For the ninth month was Abiezer, the Anathothite, of the Benjaminites, and in his division were 24,000. For the tenth month was Meherai, the Netophathite, of the Zerahites, and in his division were 24,000. For the eleventh month was Benaiah, the Pirathonite, of the sons of Ephraim, and in his division were 24,000. For the twelfth month was Heldai, the Netophathite of Othniel, and in his division were 24,000. Now in charge of the tribes of Israel, chief officer for the Reubenites was Eleazar, the son of Zikri. For the Simeonites, Shephatiah, the son of Maacah. For Levi, Hashabiah, the son of Kemuel. For Aaron, Zadok. For Judah, Elihu, one of David's brothers. For Issachar, Omri, the son of Michael. For Zebulun, Ishmaiah, the son of Obadiah. For Naphtali, Jeremoth, the son of Azrael. For the sons of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Azaziah. For the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joel, the son of Pedaiah. For the half-tribe of Manasseh in Gilead, Iddo, the son of Zechariah. For Benjamin, Jaasiel, the son of Abner. For Dan, Azarel, the son of Jeroham. These were the princes of the tribes of Israel. But David did not count those 20 years of age and under, because the Lord had said he would multiply Israel as the stars of heaven. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, had begun to count them, but did not finish. And because of this, wrath came upon Israel, and the number was not included in the account of the Chronicles of King David. Now Asmaveth, the son of Abdiel, had charge of the king's storehouses, and Jonathan, the son of Uzziah, had charge of the storehouses in the country, in the cities and in the villages and in the towers. Ezri, the son of Kileb, had charge of the agricultural workers who tilled the soil. Shimei, the Ramathite, had charge of the vineyards. And Zabdi, the Shifmite, had charge of the produce of the vineyards stored in the wine cellars. Baal-Hanan, the Gederite, had charge of the olive and sycamore trees in Shephelah. And Joash had charge of the stores of oil. Shittai, the Sharonite, had charge of the cattle which were grazing in Sharon, and Shaphat, the son of Adlai, had charge of the cattle in the valleys. Obil, the Ishmaelite, had charge of the camels. Jehediah, the Marathonite, had charge of the donkeys. Jaziz, the Hagrite, had charge of the flocks. All these were overseers of the property which belonged to King David. Also Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a man of understanding, and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hakmoni, tutored the king's sons. And Hushai the Archite was the king's friend. Ahithophel was the counselor of the king, and Hushai the Archite was the king's friend. Jehoiada, son of Benaiah, and Abiathar succeeded Ahithophel, and Joab was the commander of the king's army. And so, just a thumbnail sketch here, verses 1 through 15, we've got the 12 divisions of the army, their leaders. Most of these leaders mentioned here show up in the list of David's mighty men, places like 2 Samuel 23 and 1 Chronicles chapter 11, 16 through 22, we have the leaders of the tribes of Israel listed out. In verses 23 and 24, hearken back to the census that was taken, that we read about in 1 Chronicles 21. Joab started, but did not finish. The wrath of God came upon Israel. And then in 25 through 31, we have the overseer of David's properties, the overseer of the flocks, herds, camels, cattle, and so forth. And then in 32 through 34, we have David's advisors, the tutor of his sons, his army commander, and so on. And so what does all of this have to do with us, right? I admit that these three chapters that we have read together do not comprise the most riveting narrative in all of Scripture. I'll give you that. But what it does do is it gives us a picture of different leaders, both religious and civil, that were part of David's kingdom. The relationship that these men had to David point us forward to our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll look at just two points here, and we'll be very brief here in application. But for one, we want to serve the King of the body of Christ. We want to serve our Lord Christ in his body. And secondly, we want to be excellent in the work that we do. And so, first of all, we have these men who are listed out here. They're all serving the king in some way or the other. They're all serving under the direction of the king. We saw this in chapter 25, that those who prophesied, prophesied under the direction of the king. Those 2,700 Levites who were in charge of the area west of the Jordan were representatives of the king. They had oversight not only of the affairs of God, but also of the affairs of the king. The commanders of the army in 27 verse 1 are also said to have served the king. So they're all, in some way or another, in the service of the king. They didn't all have glamorous positions. Some of them did. Some of these guys were mighty men, and we read about their exploits. Some of these guys are military leaders. Some of these guys that we read about were just guarding the storehouse of the temple, two by two. This is not terribly glamorous work, but it was necessary. Some of these are men who led worship and wrote psalms like Asaph. Some of these guys are bureaucrats on the far side of the Jordan trying to enforce the reign of the king and the true religion of God on the frontiers of Israel and the borderlands that may have been more susceptible to pagan influence coming from abroad, some of whose names we will never know until eternity, right? As many names as we read here, we didn't read 2,700 names, and there's 2,700 of those guys out there on the west side of the Jordan. And all of these men had a job to do and a purpose to fulfill in the kingdom of David. All were necessary to keep the show going in some way or another. If somebody didn't show up to work, something might have gone awry. And it is the same for us in the body of Christ. We have differing gifts and differing abilities, different callings, but all who are Christ's are individually members of his one body, and each have a function to perform in obedience to our King and for his glory. And this is what we read about in the opening before our opening hymns in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, about there being one body, differing gifts, differing abilities. And we cannot say, just because I'm not an ear, that I'm not part of the body. Or I can't say to you, because you are an ear, therefore you're not a part of the body. We all need one another, and we all function corporately and collectively together. Just like all of those officials, different workers in David's kingdom, were doing their work for their king, and each had their own importance, so it is in the body of Christ. We cannot say to another member of the body of Christ that we have no need of them. And you cannot say to the body of Christ that they have no need of you, that I'll just separate myself off. You can't do that. The members, we're told, that seem to be weaker are more necessary. And even being a doorkeeper in the house of God is a great honor and privilege. It beats dwelling in the tents of wickedness any day. And then another theme that pops up here is this theme of excellence. And so we find four times in chapter 26 this theme of ability, or I think ESV renders it as ability. New American Standard renders it as valor or capability. And we find this in places like 26, chapter 26, verse 6, and then we see it down there at the end of the chapter in verses 30, 31, and 32. And so we have these men who were doing their job and were doing it well. They were capable, they had ability, they were doing it with excellence. And I love the way verse 31 expresses it, that there were these Hebronites who were investigated according to their genealogies and their father's households in the 40th year of David's reign, and men of outstanding capability were found there in Jazer of Gilead. So they did an investigation, and what did they find? They found there were some men of outstanding capability. A lot of times when we hear about an investigation going on, we find malfeasance, corruption, people who are not doing their jobs with great ability, right? But these men were competent, and they were doing their jobs well, and they were doing them in the service of their king. And as such, they are great examples to us. I feel like I'm dovetailing on what Matt was talking to us about in Sunday school this morning. And they were doing their work for their king, and so should we be doing all that we do to the glory of God, whether it's something as mundane as eating and drinking, or serving as a bureaucrat, serving in some government capacity that might otherwise go unnoticed by most everyone else, or whether it be something more spectacular. Even when we're just doing our regular jobs, we're supposed to be doing it heartily, as unto the Lord and not for men. Whether it's done in word or deed, all is to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This honors God because it's ultimately him that we're serving, regardless of what we're doing. And so our excellence on the job is honoring to God, even when no one else is looking, as long as we're serving him for his glory. It honors God when other people are looking too, because that gives us an opportunity to bear witness before them concerning the king whom we are serving. And again, like I said, I feel like I'm just dovetailing on what Matt was talking about in Sunday school this morning. We do our work for the Lord, regardless of what sphere it's in. And so in light of that, let's do our part. And let's let others do their part as members of the body of Christ. Let's recognize that each part is necessary. And let's serve our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, with excellence for his glory in whatever it is that we're doing. Please pray with me. Our Father, we pray that we would be those who honor you when the eyes of others are on us and when the eyes of others are not on us. We pray that we would be people of excellence, of great ability, that we would serve you with that ability that you have given us wherever you have called us and placed us. And we pray, Father, that we would work together as members of the body of Christ, that we would recognize our need for one another, and that we would be joyful about that fact that you have so organized the body that we need each other. And we thank you for that. Pray that you would give us strength, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.